wonder if there was so much pressure that that was felt with their performance. But because I certainly have to believe they're a better team than what was showed today.
Exactly. I mean, when you think about the nation of Nigeria, it speaks about excellence. And this cuts across, you know, they're very popular for having sports talent, music, of course. I love to listen to some of the Nigerian music in there. And obviously, coming into this tournament, everyone was hoping that the Rivers Hoopers will do a fantastic job. It's not a great start from them. I think they'll be going back to their rooms and thinking, how can we correct this and do better and do the nation of Nigeria very proud, because Nigeria, everyone knows them to be the giant of Africa, so that has to cut across and be reflective on the court.
Yeah, that's also well said. This Nigeria has done a lot. I mean, Asai Ujiri, also from Nigeria, and he's the general manager and or president of the Toronto Raptors, and they've had great success. And so they will be back. And one of my all-time favorite players in the world, Usher, comes from Nigeria.
Who is that?
Well, okay, you got to go. So, you know, I have a little group. I got to go Joe Dumars, because he could guard one of my favorites of all time, Michael Jordan, the best. And then I got to go Hakeem. These are easy. These are easy to pick. And so my point is, though, a lot of great things come out of Nigeria. And none greater than Hakeem Olajuwon.
I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon. Say it, you know, slowly, with a lot of respect.
Hakeem. Okay. Hakeem. You know, you could teach me speech lessons. You could. I love your accent. Actually, I'm the one with the accent. But I love the way you enunciate and speak so clearly. Those two matter. Every point matters. But how about the performance of the Patriots? And just getting to this point, congratulations to the entirety of the NBA, Amadou Gallo-Fall, his team, Manu Kwon. So many people who have a hand in this coming to light. What a...
Wow, what an exciting first match. What a way to open up the tournament. The hosting team really, really showed us what they have with the momentum that they had from the qualifiers. They've really come in and shown us. Wow, I'm honestly speechless at the moment. Prince and Sheck, talk to me, guys.
Yeah, man. Well, this is a wow, big wow. No one was expecting this this score, like down by 20, almost lose by 30 points. You know, and then, nobody was expecting this, you know.
Man, they really have kind of shifted the dynamic. We feel like, you know, coming into the tournament, a lot of people had a lot of other favorites. I'm not sure if the host nation was amongst those, but they definitely put the entire tournament on watch with this performance.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Everybody's watching right now. This is a big message from the Patriots team to the whole NBA league right now, what they are about right now in this tournament.
Yeah, and I think we also have to talk about the 7 foot, Tom center, Tom Bushwam Okonkwo's performance, and of course the magical former University of Texas Prince Ibe, who has been great for the rest of the game. I mean, fantastic dunk, fantastic defense. His athletic ability has actually had a great impact as far as the match is concerned. And I mean, the Nigerian team couldn't, withstand his performance. They couldn't stop him.
Right. No, man, the Patriots seemed like they had all the right recipes. You know, they had everything going. You know, they had about 10 out of their 12 players had scored. You know, that in itself just shows you how they've been facilitating the ball, making sure everybody gets involved. They had 3 players in double digits. Those 3 players being Brandon Costner with 20 points. What a performance by him. We had Didi Nzia with 13 points, and Prince Ibe, who definitely came to show out, who had an amazing complete package, complete game with 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks, making sure that his presence is felt on both sides of the court.
Absolutely. And, just to check, what do you think this does to the overall psyche of the Patriots team moving forward?
They can get attention not only from Africa, but also to the NBA right now, because this is the NBA performance. They nearly score 100 points in the game, which is NBA required. Anytime you get over 80 points, 90, close to 100, and you kind of to competing to see that by the time, how the basketball is, the timing is very important. NBA teams on the fourth quarter of NBA team, they score over 100 points. If any other team is able to close near that in the Africa League, that's a very, very good performance. That means they could even do more, and they got some more enemies, what I'm saying, as the first game. But what I would say about the Patriots team, they did a tremendous job recruiting players that can come here and have this kind of performance. There's a lot of players from their own country, Rwanda, and like I was talking about, a lot of players that grew their basketball game outside of Africa, and which is a chance for them to also expose their talent to this tournament. Number 11 was number 10 was one of them, and also number 14, the 7-footer. And I never seen a 7-footer take a jump shot 3, and Bush was able to make some 3-point shot as a 7-footer. This is something that they, and also let's not forget about they have a group of people that are really they are coached by a very good head coach, Alan Major. This is a very good performance for him too. He has a lot of experience coaching all kind of players, right, from American college all the way to here. He's an NBA coach before for Charlotte in 2010-2015. So he knows the dynamic. He knows when to call a timeout. He knows how the game is going. He really understands if you get the first punch and you do good, and he knows what kind of strategy you need to come up with to change players and sub people up and put your best out. He knows how to manage a team. And he done a tremendous job by doing that, by using Prince at the time that he needed. And Brandon Costner, you can tell that he's 33 years old, and he used it at the time he needed to, and always all performant. And he also used J. Cole at the right time whenever he needed him. And J. Cole really did a good performance defensively, and he had some very nice assists, and he even scored some points, his first professional point in Africa. So I think the Patriots send a big message to every team. If you want to beat them, you got to have an inside presence. And if you don't have inside presence, you have to have something else to offer to beat this team.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quite disappointing for the Rivers Hoopers from Nigeria. I mean, 211 million Nigerians who are watching tonight. And, Nigeria is a country that is well known, especially soccer. And, just taking things seriously and producing outstanding performances. And, I have a feeling that the team is going to be back. If all is not lost for them, they can still come back in the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like it's only one game, and that's the beautiful thing about group stages, right? You might have one bad performance, but you still have the ability to play the other teams within the group. And for me personally, watching this game, I feel like the Rivers Hoopers, when they played their game, they played well. When they tried to play the Patriots game, which is more of a three-point shooting game, they then kind of stirred away from what they normally do, and they ended up, kind of not being able to keep up with the pace because they weren't, to me, they don't seem like as a good enough of a three-point shooting team in comparison to the Patriots. So you got to stick to the script. You know, sometimes it is difficult with the game evolving to a three-point game to not want to get involved and shoot as many three-pointers as possible. But stick to the game plan and, you know, strap down on defense. And you would have, I feel like they would have had a better performance if they didn't continually try to shoot as many threes as they did while not making nearly as many.
Yeah, definitely. If you're playing a team like this team, I think the Rwanda Patriot team is really, you don't know what is their strength right now as looking at this, the team, because their strength is on both ends of the floor.
Right.
You know, they shoot the ball well from the outside, and they can finish inside. They have a strong presence inside the game. Mm-hmm. You cannot really tell what their weakness is right now as looking at them. And they're confident. They play with confidence. If you down a team by 10 points, and what better confidence can you have as a player to go forward? And this is your game for grab. You always have 10 points, and your confidence level is boosted up. I think that's what happened with the team. And they also got good players. And this is players that are very experimented in both teams. And Nigeria also have some very good, a lot of good players, very, very experimented. But they just started late, you know, than the Patriots team. And I feel like the Patriots are going to give a lot of team hard time in this league as we're going. And it's a tremendous first performance from the organizing country in Kigali that is well expected as an organizing country. As you can see, they organized this very well with recruiting. And if you look at the roster, I don't think there's any comparative to any roster in this league as far as recruitment and as far as player experiences and coaching from college. You know, when you talk about sports, basketball specifically, America is a mecca of basketball. Everybody on this league would love to dream to come to the United States. If you haven't played in the NBA, you don't feel like you achieve basketball to the highest end, you know what I mean?
Right.
So most of these players, they have been playing in the United States already. They have an experience competing against the best players in the United States, and they're also being exposed to a lot of competition, and which is different. Bill, if you look at Africa tournament and league, it's no near comparative to America when it comes to competition, how many games you play a season, how many practice a day. It show in a game, it show in a real game like this, you know what I'm saying? It show in a real game like this when you really have players that have a lot of experience of playing a lot of games, practice three times a day. In college alone in the United States, you spend almost 6 hours a day in the gym. Like, you work out in the morning, afternoon, you work out shooting around, and the evening there is a practice. And there's a conditioning before the season, and it's all running. Basketball's all running. So all those stuff, McVilly, it shows. And
right.
Frankly, this stuff show on the court who's more used to the game, who's more confident with the game, who's more used to the basketball, who's more used to the ring. And if you look at Prince, he walk in the gym like be very confident because he really put the work in it, you know, and he doesn't show. And I heard the commentator was talking about, like, he doesn't speak much, he lets the game speak for himself. That's the same thing in America here. You can tell everybody that you're the best player, but your game speaks better for you than your action, than your talk.
Absolutely.
So that's the thing, that's what they're showing right now. They have a group of guys on that roster that are showing the level of basketball that's expected from them and from the BAL team and also from the NBA.
Man, I definitely completely agree with everything that you've said, man. With their experience also comes them understanding the game. And, you know, even in the first quarter when they were down, they didn't get too overly anxious. They stuck to their plan. And once you start knocking down shots in games, you know, Sheck, as you can, you know, attest to this, when you start knocking down shots, the game opens up for you, right? It gets,
right.
The game becomes so much easier because every time you kick the ball out to the corner, you know, you think everybody has the potential to score. So one shot fake, you drive, now you're able to assist more, get more people involved because your jumpers are going down, as opposed to when you're not scoring as much, you can limit the defenders to staying outside with the few shooters that they might have. So I feel like once the shots started going down for the Rwandan team, the Patriots, everything opened up for them.
Right. And, absolutely. You know, for all the people joining us now, remember Rwandan champions, the Patriots just beat Nigeria's River Hoopers 83 to 60 points. And that's the opening game of the inaugural Basketball Africa League. And, you know, I'm just trying to think about this game is being played during the pandemic. And, of course, NBA... FIBA have invested so much in the league, and this will actually play a significant role as far as, you know, boosting the tournament and also boosting the continent, African continent, exposing these players not only in Africa but other parts of the world. And of course, this also to a great extent in terms of the future, you know, we're going to be having some youthful talents, growing talents and stuff like that. Just, you know, to look back where Africa has come from and the significance of this particular tournament as far as Africa is concerned. What do you think the match that we just watched and the overall, I mean, the whole tournament in general, what does this mean for Africa?
Well, this means for Africans that there is a possibility, you know, and if you see somebody coming from another country and trying to get to where you want to go, that means there is a possibility for you. And as we all know, there is in this tournament right now, there is over 154 players from 24 countries across Africa, Europe, Middle East, and USA included. That means everybody trying to go to the NBA. So, but the majority of players that have been given chance to play in this tournament is the African players, the local players that haven't get chance to go out, and there's a lot of them in this tournament, and this is the chance for them to also prove that they are NBA caliber, and also NBA is doing this to expose the talent of Africa, because you cannot talk about any sports. I'm sorry, you cannot talk about any sports and any athleticism sports like basketball, soccer, and other and several of them that if you don't include Africa in it, you know, and because we proved that on a lot of level professionally in Europe and United States, we start having African players in NBA MVP, and we start having more Africans in NBA All-Star. We start having more African in NBA United States colleges, NCAA Division I programs, Division II high school. We start having Africa presence and everywhere because of our athleticism. Now it is for Africans and the people from Africa to see that this is an opportunity not only for basketball, but also develop the country a lot of way, because basketball is something that's beneficial to the players and their family. But the side of the commercializing, the bridge between United States and Africa, and the economy-wise, and how the connection is, the bridge of culture, the bridge of all kind of activities, and that can be more beneficial to Africa more than other countries. I think this is Africans should be able to take advantage of this as much as they can, you know, and especially local players, this is the time for you to shine, you know, and you see players that come from outside, they shine really good on this tournament because they know what this business is about, how serious it is, and it's time for African players in this league also to show the same performance. And you saw that one of the Africa best players was in the gym right now as we were talking, while watching the game. We saw Luol Deng in there from Sudan, and he's one of the best players from Africa that play in NBA in the United States here. And so you can see that it's a chance for Africa more. Like, I can see a big bridge because ESPN is going to share these images to the scouting in America. NBA TV is going to be carrying some of this game, as far as I understand, and it will be more interest on NBA scouting. And who know NBA scouting in this gym right now trying to recruit the best talent to go to their team based on what they can offer, what contract they can offer. So it's definitely something very, very good for Africa more. And we've never seen something like that before. We've seen tournament in soccer, but we've never seen a major league NBA basketball with the billions and billions of dollars interested in organizing a league in Africa. I think the team should take advantage of this to the maximum and expose the talent to get opportunity somewhere else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well said, Sheck. I definitely feel like the spotlight is on Africa now. As you've mentioned, there have been plenty of NBA basketball talent from Africa, but it was one-offs. It wasn't club teams. It wasn't a collective unit where you can sit back and watch an entire African team really demonstrate how they can play together, the level of chemistry, the level of talent, what they have to offer. And I don't feel like it could have been in a greater city, really, in Africa. Kigali is doing phenomenal. So this is a great showcase, not only for the Patriots team, but for the country of Rwanda in general. So it's a great start to the tournament, in my opinion. We have some amazing games coming up tomorrow as well. We have GSP versus AS Douanes. We have Maputo versus Zamalek. And we have GNBC versus U.S. Montserrat. And a lot of people could say that U.S. Montserrat, the team from Tunisia, is one of the favorites as well to go all the way. What are your takes on some of those games coming up tomorrow, Sheck?
I think the Maghreb basketball have been very improved at the time. They're always good in soccer. But basketball, they are becoming really, really hard team to beat for the dark Africa. I don't know how to explain this, but you know what I mean. The Maghreb are East Africa, but the West Africa and South is Black Africa. So the Maghreb is kind of on the edge of taking over, because when you take a look at the competition in Africa the last few years, and take BAL out, you know, the African Afro basketball tournament, and you see the Maghreb are in top three, top five, like all of them, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, and Egypt.
Right.
Especially Algeria winning, I believe, last couple of years, Algeria won the Africa Afro title, and Angola used to be the best on it. Angola won more title in Africa, more than any country in Africa, but the Maghreb really coming up strong, and they also have a professional players that play on overseas. If we take a look at the roster right now, the players they brought to the BAL tournament is solid, you know, because they recruit very good and they have more economy power to get players. You know, they have more
financial incentives.
They have more financial liability to be able to bring more players, because this is the country that are more developed financially than a lot of teams in this tournament. So they are able to bring any players in it because they're financially reliable and everything. So financially also is hurting a lot of people on the other side to get recruited, you know. And as police, I'm pretty sure a lot of out of the Kigali team, I'm pretty sure a lot of players went with the majority local players, and because of financial ability to bring players from other places, you know, I don't know how the contract and every business work, but it's an understanding between coaches, players, and the organization. So a lot of teams doesn't have that same liability to able to bring players from other places. I think Maghreb team is going to be very, very tough to beat. You know, even this big performance of Angola team, and I can still also see Angola having the hardest time with the Maghreb teams, because they're very skillful, and they might not be athletic like the other team, but they are very good passing the ball, move the ball quickly. They're very good with 3-point shooting, and they're very good with getting the ball to the bucket the quickest as possible than a lot of teams. So that's the understanding I have with the Maghreb team. Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Morocco included, all these countries can surprise a lot of teams by just beating them quickly, not because of the athleticism, just because they are quick and they're also understanding the share of the ball on the court and quickly. You know, they really play like European basketball, the Maghreb teams. When I look at the Maghreb team in the past with Afro basketball in Africa, I see this team really pass the ball like, you know, the San Antonio Spurs type
yes.
of game.
Yep.
And like they communicate, they really give the person person that's open to take the shot. They're not worrying about who's going to get the shot. They're worrying about sharing the ball, you know, and that's pretty much what is going to happen.
Right. Now,
amazing
game, amazing start to the tournament. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, Sheck Thiero.
You're welcome.
He is a legend and in the stratosphere of basketball here. Prince.
Anytime. I really enjoyed myself, especially this partnership with the NBA and FIBA. Fantastic stuff, and we shall be keeping you posted by TMP Africa.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, looking forward to see the next game coming.
Sounds good. We will be back tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
For VOA News, Geneva.
This month, live from the Kigali Arena in Rwanda, the Basketball Africa League begins its inaugural season. Catch the action with VOA Africa. Monday's games tip off at 1200 UTC, 1900 UTC.
You are listening to the Voice of America in Washington, and this is Nightline Africa. And coming up in the second half of the program, sports. A commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. And in Nightline Africa sports, the fate of this year's African Athletics Championships is unclear after the Algerian government postponed the event without giving any new dates due to the global COVID-19 pandemic. This is the third delay to the event, which should have taken place in 2020 before being postponed by a year due to COVID-19. With the Olympics set to begin in Tokyo in July, the news will come as a blow to athletes across the continent who are hoping to use the championships in a final bid to achieve the qualifying standard for the Games. The sports global governing body, World Athletics, has set June 29th of 2021 as the deadline for reaching the qualifying mark to take part at the 2020 Olympics. The African Athletics Championships were last held in the Nigerian city of Asaba in 2018. In football, the Sierra Leone Football Association is seeking approval to finalize the details to host the postponed Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Benin. Sierra Leone has opted not to go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport to appeal against CAF's decision not to award a win to the Leone Stars. Instead, the Sierra Leone Football Association has submitted some proposed dates for the crucial qualifier and will be submitting an inspection of the Siaka Stevens Stadium in Freetown to CAF in order to host the match. The Group L tie was supposed to have taken place in Freetown in March, but was called off when Benin refused to play, as they disputed five of their players returning positive COVID-19 tests that would have ruled them out of the crucial match. Now Sierra Leone has proposed to play the qualifier against Benin between June 12th, 13th and 14th, 2021 at the Siaka Stevens Stadium in Freetown. The proposed dates and venue are, however, subject to CAF approval. Still in football, Argentina's Hector Cooper has been appointed as the new coach of the DR Congo's men's football team. The 65-year-old has been given the task of leading the Leopards to the 2022 World Cup. DR Congo, who missed out on a place at next year's Africa Cup of Nations finals, are in a group with Madagascar, Benin, and Tanzania for the second round of qualifying for the World Cup. This will be Cooper's second stint in charge of an African national team After his 3 years with Egypt, who he guided to the 2018 World Cup in Russia. And MC Alga came from a goal down to draw 1-1 against two-time African champions Wydad in the first leg of the CAF Champions League quarterfinals played in Algiers on Friday. Wydad hosts the return leg next weekend in Casablanca. On Saturday, Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa beat Tanzania champion Simba Sports Club 4-0 in Johannesburg. CR Belouizdad, making their first Champions League appearance since 2002, beat four-time champions Esperance 2-0. And in boxing, Anthony Joshua's promoter Ed Hearn has said that the long-awaited clash between the fighter and his British rival Tyson Fury will take place in Saudi Arabia on August 14th. A new stadium could be built for the occasion. The two are set to contest all four world heavyweight titles in a long-awaited bout set to take place in either Riyadh or Jeddah. Saudi authorities plan to allow international travelers, that's according to Hearn, although the fight has yet to be officially confirmed. Joshua has 24 wins and one defeat from 25 professional fights, but lost his three world titles in a shock defeat to Andy Ruiz Jr. in June 2009 before eventually regaining them in a rematch. Fury is unbeaten in 31 professional fights but hasn't fought since beating Deontay Wilder in February of 2020. And that's about it for this edition of Netland Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict and in time of peace. Here is one man's point of view with Dr. James Joner, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Joner.
Good evening, Africa. Prior to the end of apartheid in 1994, the South African National Congress, ANC, represented to the global community the titanic struggle between the black and brown people of South Africa and the white minority government. The name of Nelson Mandela, the man who is revered throughout the world, was always linked to the ANC. And that is why, for decades throughout the length and breadth of the African continent, the name ANC was known to every tribe and grown up in the continent. This reverence for the ANC was justified when the first free and fair elections were held in 1994, and the ANC skeptical with massive majority, and Nelson Mandela became the first black president of South Africa. Mandela was the reconciler, and he embraced the white minority government despite his suffering in Northern Ireland as a prisoner. And to the people of South Africa, he demonstrated his commitment for unity by standing shoulder to shoulder with the African rugby team, a symbol of white minority government. For decades after decades, after the death of Mandela, the ANC began to lose support among the people of South Africa, including the black population. The main problem arose under the administration of Jacob Zuma, a man who was not embraced by the white business class or the white population. And they were able to sponsor and encourage Cyril Ramaphosa to challenge the regime of Jacob Zuma. The main issue that has been focused in South Africa then was the so-called state capture. That is massive corruption under change. But the change to Cyril Ramaphosa did not prove so successful because the ANC convention was split and the Big Six executive was split 3-3. So the issue of widespread corruption and out-of-handed became the main political debate in South Africa. And recently, Jacob Zuma, who is now out of office, challenged the judiciary. He refused to appear before a committee to investigate corruption in the ANC. He argued that this had been cooked up by those who wanted to destroy him. And he said the verdict was already reached, so he would not appear and would be prepared to even go to prison for failure to appear before the committee. Then there have been challenged also within the ANC. The president, Cyril Ramaphosa, could not compare the Secretary General of the ANC to stand by while there is some investigation. So it is all quite confusing within the ANC. Just recently, a secret paper surfaced, and it shows some of the grand dealings of the ANC are really concerned about the future of the ANC. They are really disturbed. And one member of the ANC executive committee said, why are you cherry-picking those who are guilty of corruption within the party? He said, we are all guilty. We have to think of him. And you, referring to the president, you, President Ramaphosa, you are also just as culpable as many of us. So when the president appeared before committee, he said, I can't think the question. He did not impress many when he said he was not aware of what was being done by the former president. Recently, there were demonstrations in Johannesburg, and one of the leaders said something with great meaning. He said, and I'm quoting what he said, said the problem with the government of the ANC, that is president, the ministers, is they are in office, but they're not in power, which means they may have the titles, but they can't make fundamental decisions that will affect the economic and social life of the people of South Africa. This has been the battle cry of Julius Malema, who had been expelled from the ANC and went on to form the Freedom Fighting Economic and Fight Party. In essence, then, unless the ANC tackles profoundly the large disparity between the minority in South Africa and the masses, its future will remain in doubt. Thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday here on Headline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect with music from the continent.
Wanna make love on the moon. Dancing to my tunes, easy to my, it's not to my. I wanna be a forest, if wishes were horses. Easy to my, it's not to my. I wanna be
Royal, vituko kama chizi, kukupenda sita sizi, moyo wangu ni mwepesi, umenikalia chapati, nafanya vituko kama chizi, kukupenda sita sizi, sura yako mzuri mama.
Timba, me what you never can quang we and gobala la teba nava. I told you when ya tun nava was a gomotima bukwe.
And that was our Sunday music spot on Nightline Africa from the English service of the Voice of America. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed the program.